B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You're reporting that this breakup was actually years in the making. So what ignited that process? How did it begin?
Well, I think that it goes back to the fall of 2017, and that's that Tom Brady wanted a contract extension, and he wanted a contract extension from the New England Patriots that would guarantee that he played until his mid-40s and achieved his goal. And the Patriots just weren't willing to do that. They wanted to go year to year, which makes sense. I mean, he is in his 40s. But that was always going to be the tension. You had a quarterback who wanted to play in his mid-40s, and you had a head coach whose genius was always knowing when it was the right time to move on from a player. He kept Brady, you know, until age 42, Bill Belichick did, longer than many expected, certainly longer than many close to Tom Brady expected. But at the end of the day, that was always the rub, those two forces colliding.
Fourth and final hour, fully loaded Felger and Maz program. Murray and myself from our Tom Fritz Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on remote. Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass here. Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings. And that's Seth Wickersham on ESPN this morning. Follow-up story over the weekend. Pretty much the final chapter of the Palace Q. The Palace Q is over. It's claimed its first victim, and it's Tom Brady. And I think Wickersham is right to say it began with the contract. It began and ended with the contract. I think that's the number one reason why Tom Brady's gone, the contract. But as Wickersham wrote extensively, both over the weekend and 2 years ago, all these underlying fractures and all these underlying problems in the relationship between Bill and Brady that brought in Kraft as well and involved Alex Guerrero and the contract and all sorts of other things and the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo and the trade of Garoppolo, all of it, I think was a factor because by the end, Brady was unwilling to play ball with the Patriots, meaning if they had made him a good contract offer, he would have stayed. But he wasn't going to take a bad contract offer this time. He has in the past. He wasn't going to do it this time, and that's because all these things came home to roost. And I think that's how I parse that out.
Yeah. Oh, no, he would have taken it, but he wasn't going to take a hometown deal to continue to deal with Bill's crap. So as much as I know it's difficult for you to wrap your head around, it really was Brady chasing appreciation and happiness, and he was never going to get it. So that's why he's a Tampa Bay Buck.
The only part I would disagree, I don't know that I would call Brady the first victim because I think Gronk was. And, like, you know, Gronk to me had $9 million on the table and he walked out the door. And Belichick tried to get rid of Gronk a year before that. Gronk stuck around. And in fact, I think Kraft probably intervened there, or at least that's what we believe. And so I look at the whole thing and say Belichick, little by little, was smashing up that whole little clique of Amendola, Brady, Gronkowski, probably Edelman, and now, you know, ultimately Brady said, screw this, I'm done with it too.
So you're saying Belichick drove away Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, the greatest players ever to perform at their position in the history of the league.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. I think Gronk ultimately, Gronk had a lot of issues, right? I mean, from the physical part of it and the concussions and everything else. But he did have $9 million waiting there for him. I mean, I think we conveniently always overlook that part of it. And, I think it was Karen Garigian might have written this, or somebody did somewhere along the line, that the Patriots thought they were going to get Gronk back last year, and they were surprised when he didn't, and that's why he didn't come back, and that's why they got caught with their pants down at tight end. And now what's happened with Brady, they thought Gronk was going to play for the money.
Okay, so it's kind of arrogant by Bill. When I mean arrogant, I don't mean like people always mistake this, like he walks into a restaurant like he owns it. I don't mean that kind of arrogance. I mean confident, overconfident. It's, yeah, I mean, I can win with this guy. I can win with that guy. I can win with Gronkowski. I can win without Gronkowski. I can win with whatever quarterback happens to be available on May 1st. I'll figure it out. Sort of a really confident, arrogant sort of attitude. He might be right, though. He might be right. But Wickersham says it began and ended with the contract. I would agree. But all that other stuff, it added up as well. And he says, just going back, his just some highlights from the weekend story. Started in 2017 when Brady first asked for the extension. It ended in a blow-up between him and Belichick after a meeting. He and Belichick had a meeting about that contract. It ended with a little blow-up, a source said. Then that year, after the Patriots lost to the Eagles, Brady was deeply dissatisfied. The offense had put up 613 yards with no punts. When Belichick addressed the team upon its return to Foxborough, Brady mostly stared straight down, barely glancing up at his coach. Brady told people in the building then that he wasn't coming back. Needing distance, he detached from the team that spring. He left passive-aggressive comments on social media. He pleaded the fifth when Jim Gray asked him if he felt underappreciated. He looked lost at the end of his Facebook docuseries, Tom vs. Time, saying of his passion, "What are we doing this for?" ESPN's Ian O'Connor, in his book on Belichick, reported that Brady wanted a divorce from his coach. And Brady made it clear to author Mark Leibovich in his book, Big Game, that he was fed up with Belichick's culture, which is to say he was fed up with Belichick. When he was asked by Leibovich how he would feel if the Patriots released him, Brady was blunt, quote, "They can do whatever they want." Wickersham writes that Brady just wasn't just looking to win Super Bowls, victory at all costs, the ethos of most of his career. No, he wanted what everyone wants and what everyone wants from an employer, to feel valued and to love work. They seemed like two reasonable asks until Brady realized that in New England, under Bill Belichick, he might be asking the impossible. So it did come down to that as well. And on that last part, again, I just break with him. Aw, it's too tough for you here? It was too tough? You mean that culture that brought the best out of you and everybody and led to 6 Super Bowls and 9 Super Bowl appearances and all of that became too much? I don't have any sympathy for you.
Well, Tom got arrogant, too. Like, just thought Bill feels like he can win with anyone now, and you know, maybe that's what Brian Hoyer or Stidham. The same thing happened with Tom in these last 5 to 10 years. He started to feel like, I'm the more important piece. And looking at that Super Bowl, they ultimately lost to the Eagles in a way that, you know, he got out-coached. Tom definitely, after that, was like, no, it's more about me than him. And he wanted to be treated as much as such, and that didn't happen. They gave him an incentive-laden contract after that season, and that was, to me, I think, truly the last straw.
So this is great. Wickersham wrote, "We listened as those close to Brady insisted he would be the first to go. But, you know, between Brady, Belichick, Kraft, Brady would be the first to go. Tom Sr. once told me that Belichick, he told me that once Belichick found a quarterback who is better than Brady for a dollar less, Tom will be gone." Tom Brady also told Leibovich it will end badly. Wickersham writes that some close to Brady actually looked forward to that day in a weird way, believing that the team would collapse without him, without the human backstop who bailed out everyone's mistakes. So there's people in Brady's camp who think that the Patriots are about to fail, about to fall on their face. This was also good. Wickersham writes that to many of the executives around the league who did due diligence on Tom Brady and spoke to Brady or his camp, Brady seemed so driven by an animus towards Belichick that they couldn't tell if he actually wanted a fresh start or if he just needed leverage to force Kraft to step in. So Brady was bad-mouthing Bill, telling everyone how much he hated Bill when he was talking to these other teams in free agency. How about that? So all this stuff came home to roost. And again, of all the people to nail it, Terry Bradshaw on his horrible cell phone with his hee-haw grab ass. He did an interview with The Athletic, and he nailed it. He said, why in the world does he want, meaning Brady, why in the world does he want to keep playing at 43 other than to prove New England he's more important than Belichick? That's the way I would look at it. Bradshaw said, why the hell do you want to go to Tampa? The only thing I can think of is ego gets involved and you decide, I'll show him who's more important. And I think Bradshaw nailed it. I think that's why is Brady a effing Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
Spite. Yeah.
And the Palace,
I mean, really?
Palace Q.
Yeah, really, it is. It is stunning, and I do. I think it reached the point where Brady just said, 20 years. I've been here 20 years. I took you to 9 Super Bowls. We won 6 of them. Can you at least give me a little bit of a breather? Just a little bit. Like, can you at least cut me a little bit of slack? And Belichick wouldn't do it. And so, this is the classic case of the guy who works for a long period of time, produces like nobody's business, and then asks for a little bit of perk, and the boss says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And he gets pissed off and eventually walks out the door. I think it's something akin to that happened.
So Wickersham wrote it 2 years ago, probably happened a little bit longer than he thought, and then many people thought. I think many people thought that the breakup was coming sooner. There was just one problem. They kept winning. They went to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, 12-4. Even their bad year last year was 12-4. They kept winning, and Tom Brady was under contract. So there was nowhere to go. But the first chance he had, he was gone. And not even to a good spot. Not, in fact, to maybe the worst spot in the league, one of the worst brands in all of sports. That's how badly he wanted out from Belichick and how unwilling he was to work with him on a contract. He went to the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if that didn't hit home this weekend, I don't know what did. I don't know if you saw that hype video from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll play it coming out of the next break. If that didn't hit home when you saw that thing, I don't know what does. So we'll play that. You'll hear that, and we'll get right to your phones, I promise, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Eh, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Which of the rings do you like the best?
The next one. The next one's the best.
I am told Tampa is the choice, and he will sign tomorrow.
Don't. Discount the puck.
I think it's time to put them in their place. I'ma have to set them straight. You don't know me. You don't know where I'm from or what I had to do to get this play. Hey.
I'm throwing everything quick tonight.
We switch it.
Randy throws. Pass caught. Oh, he's got him. Touchdown.
Way to go, Randy. You may have seen that. Big play.
How do you think Buccaneer fans are feeling right now after that news from Tom Brady?
Yes.
Back to Brady it goes. Brady going for Edelman. He's got it. Touchdown.
That's a tough watch. That's a tough watch. You watch on NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast. You saw the video. Even as an audio piece, you can hear it. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hype video. Belichick highlights. Sorry. God, why don't I keep the Brady highlights, etc. Tough watch as Murray here with his creamsicle orange Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey number 12.
Yeah, I had to get it on eBay before, you know, they maybe shut the post office down. But, yeah, all less for $70. An old Doug Williams throwback and a Tampa Bay Bucs hat. I'm ready for it, but it is still jarring. Like, I don't know. You watch that, it's like, well, those are Patriots highlights. Get your own stuff. Like, I don't know, just put, like, photos of them up. Like, you have to use the Patriots stuff for your hype video? Ugh. So, I don't know. I await it. I'm happy that he's gone, only in that I do think he'll be reinvigorated. It just wasn't going to work here anymore. That's now obvious. But it still is. It's becoming more weird by the day.
To me, when I see those videos and the full-page ad in the newspaper that the Crafts took out, like, it's all sort of hitting home kind of stuff. So what do you think? Tony in Providence, thanks for hanging on. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
You guys did a great job. First of all, you guys are right about Belichick. There's more Belichick. And imagine if Jimmy plays against Brady in the playoffs. That'd be wild.
Okay, yes, it would be wild. I want to see Brady play against Bill first. I think that's the big one for me. Here's Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, well, first, before I, you know, Maz hit a good spot before. He absolutely got Gronk out of town. You know, anybody who thinks that Bill Belichick is more important than Tom Brady really needs to go and buy a Red Sox season ticket. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard of. Let's just see. I know, Mike, you 1 minute, you said a month ago, you were saying if Brady comes back and crawls back and everything, he's going to be such a fool. Now you're saying he didn't have enough guts to stay and take Belichick's bullcrap. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know something? I laughed, too. I laughed at Tampa Bay, but I'm going to tell you something. They lost 4 games by 4 points last year. They lost 1 in overtime. I guarantee, I'll bet anybody, that they have a better record than the Patriots. If you think Hoyer is going to beat the Buffalo Bills out for first place, Mike, you better go watch an NBA game.
I do. I think Hoyer's going to beat the Buffalo Bills. I think it's going to be Stidham, but even if it's Hoyer, I think they beat out the Bills for the division. I mean, so look, Brady may have been more important than Belichick. That may be. Like, That whole argument, we don't do much of it. It kind of bores me. Like, I don't care who was more important, Brady or Belichick. It was the combination of two that brought you to where you got to. So, like, leave that aside. Even if Brady was more important, Maz, than Belichick, the player can't be more important than the team in that sport. There's really only one where you can do it. You can do it in basketball, maybe baseball, I guess, because it's a quasi-team sport to begin with. But in football, the head coach has to be the most important guy. It's got to be the tone setter. That's how that sport's structured. So I don't care. Even if Brady was more important, Bill has to run the show. And so I don't have a problem with that. Bill runs the show.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it either. I think it has to be that way, because what happens is if the quarterback gets special treatment and the quarterback becomes more powerful, it undermines the whole thing. So I get that part of it. And honestly, I would argue, with the exception of basketball, that kind of thing can undermine any team just because of the politics behind the scenes. So, Michael Lombardi put something up on The Athletic a little while ago today, and I don't, there was nothing all that revelatory in there, but I do think that the one point that was made that I think was legit is that the Patriots culture really hasn't changed much. I mean, Belichick's culture is still Belichick's culture. What changed is that Gronk and then Brady wanted something different from it, and they weren't going to get it.
Absolutely. I think that's the case. And I think Bill's culture is the way it should be and the way it almost has to be in that sport. Mike and Warwick, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jim. Jesus, you had to pick the creamsicle uniform?
Yeah, that's the best of all the Bucks uniforms.
No, I don't know about that. But, hey, listen, I agree with everything that you guys are saying about why Brady left. I just think it's hard. You know, you have to break it down. But it's kind of all of the above. It really is. I think it's a mixture of everything you guys have been talking about. But there's one aspect I could tell you that, as far as Hoyer, I mean, you know how bad teams are going to be licking their chops now that Brady's gone, coming in here or on the road or anywhere. I just say good luck to Hoyer, because he's going to get killed.
Okay, I don't... ask yourselves how important the quarterback position was for them last year. How many games Brady won? And that's not to diminish him as a player or what I think he has left, and I think the problems were more about the offense than they were about Brady. That's not to rag on. I'm just saying, how many games did the quarterback play, like, actually come into play?
Two, definitely. I think it's the Bills' wins, especially the latter one.
Okay, the second one was terrific.
It was his best game of the year.
I agree. It was the offense's best game of the year, about. Like, and then I wonder what happened after that. But
he was good in that opener against Pittsburgh, but that was kind of a no-show by the Steelers too overall. So
right. See, I think so. I think there's so many games like that where the team comes in, the opponent comes in, Mike Tomlin comes in here and craps himself. His team's not ready to go, and any quarterback could have won that game. That again is Brady's the best ever. I'm just saying there's been so many weeks here over the years where it really didn't matter who the quarterback was. So can you still win those games? Can you still win those games? And then there's the number of games that Brady won for you. So how many is that a year? Three, four, five? I don't know. So do you go from 12-4 to 9-7? And that's sort of my calculus. And I think if the quarterback, whoever that is, Hoyer, Stidham, comes in and just runs the offense, throws to the open guy, takes care of the ball, and you can just win those games where the opponent didn't show up, just continue to win those games.
Yeah, and Maz was right to bring up the schedule. Specifically next year, the schedule is just so brutal. And Maz, what were the numbers you had on Hoyer on the road career?
Yeah, he's sub 500. He's 15-20, and the completion percentage is under 57%. And so at home, he's 22-12, which is a pretty good record if you think about it. I mean, that's, 11-6, really. Well, if you break it out in those terms, that's pretty good.
Okay, well... Let's do this exercise, Maz. Who were his coaches? So after he left New England, he went to Arizona in 2012. Was that Arians?
Yeah.
Okay. He only started one game. He lost it. Then he went to Cleveland, where he actually, in Cleveland, this guy went 10-6 in 2 years in Cleveland, 2013, 2014. Who was his coach there?
Was Mike Pettine there at that time?
Yeah, that might have been Mike Pettine, yeah.
So if Mike Pettine can, in Cleveland, can get him to 10-6. What can Bill do? And so this is all just a long way of saying, Maz, it's one thing when you're coached by Frick, Frack, this and that. He's been on how many freaking teams? Six teams or something like that, if you include all of his different Patriot stints. Jink Bill's going to coach him up to a different level than some of these other guys.
Okay, but again, that was Hoyer from a long time ago. I don't know that Hoyer's still the same player now. And so it's not that I have doubt in Bill Belichick's ability to coach. I have doubt in Brian Hoyer's ability to play. That's what I'm worried about. And when they go on the road, I just think that they're, especially this year, I think they're going to have their hands full. Outside of the division, I did this earlier, but indulge me. At Houston, at Kansas City, at the Chargers, at the Rams, at the Seahawks. Yikes.
Is that five games right there?
Yeah.
Two and three or three and two?
Oh, and
if they go 2-3 in those, I'll take it as a win.
Mass, hold on. The Chargers with Tyrod Taylor and that collection out there. Okay, resetting in a half-empty stadium. I think they can beat the Chargers. There's one.
Okay.
Houston. Okay, I'm sorry. I know you couldn't beat them last year, but...
With Brady.
I know. Sorry. I think Houston's always a winnable game. Well, and so what were the other three?
Seattle.
Kansas City, the Rams, and Seattle.
They can beat the Rams. So I think there's two or three wins there in that grouping.
If they go 2-3, I'll be happy.
Okay, yeah. So will I. Then you're contending. And you're and you know what? They will win at Buffalo next year too.
If they get one win out of that, it's a success.
They will win at Buffalo next year. All those
Mike,
you're
delusional about Hoyer on the road. You're delusional about Hoyer on the road. Brady was the consummate road quarterback who had balls that were absolutely gigantic and would not be intimidated. Brian Hoyer, I don't care if he's 35, 55, 25, will crap his pants in Buffalo.
Okay, we'll see. The gauntlet has been laid. You win the division with Brian Hoyer. That's what I say. Here's Murray's update. Big release today in Foxborough. Details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hoyer clutches. In his own territory in the first quarter.
Poor throw. I have no idea what Hoyer is looking at. Protection was excellent.
It was knocked out and free. Alan Bailey knocked it out. It's pinned up against Atari Poe of the Chiefs. And let's see what happens at the bottom of the pile.
That ball may have slipped right out of Hoyer's hand.
Yeah, it sure did. I thought Bailey was coming in with his arm to knock it free. It was not him. It was just out of the hands.
On the field. It's a fumble recovered by Kansas City.
Hoyer scanning. Underneath the ball. With a massive mistake for the Texans there.
That was just an ill-advised throw. So far, Hoyer is off. He made a terrible decision under duress.
Second and nine. Hoyer shot downfield. Nate Washington's overthrown. It's intercepted. That's a third pick of a half. And that's three picks and six possessions thrown by Hoyer.
And they're bad interceptions. All three interceptions are horrible. There's no way you throw this football, Mike. Know who you're throwing against. Know the situation. And he fumbled the football. He's turned the ball over four times in the first half.
Interception return.
Not good.
Interception and the fifth turnover, fourth of the game, in the hands of Sean Smith. That's the story of the day. As Hoyer has been intercepted for the fourth time.
Ball's just terribly thrown, and Sean Smith has the easy interception.
Well, obviously disappointing when you turn the ball over five times, so you're never going to really have a chance to win the game. It literally is the worst feeling that I've had as a quarterback. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, so all I know is I went to go throw the ball, and my arm went forward, and the ball wasn't in it, so.
You suck, you duck-ass.
Unfortunately, the game most people remember Brian Hoyer for. He went 5-4 as the starter for Houston in 2015, quarterbacked them into the playoffs, had a home playoff game. That was at home.
It was, yeah.
Against Kansas City In January of 2016, they lost 30-0. 30-0. 15 of 34. That's a 44% completion percentage. No touchdowns. Four picks. Two fumbles. One lost. Quarterback rating of 15.9. That was a rough day, Murray.
Also, in the interest of full disclosure and to serve my own agenda here, I did something. At the end of that rejoin, it's Brian Hoyer talking about the five turnovers. That wasn't from that game. That was audio of Brian Hoyer after five turnovers as a member of the San Francisco 49ers 3 years ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, so this didn't just happen in Houston. It happened as a member of the Niners. And do yourself a favor, I'll just find it and put it up on my own on Twitter page. What he was talking about is he tried to complete a pass to Jeremy Curley, and the ball just slipped out of his hands like a complete idiot. Like, he's just not good.
Oh,
like,
that happens. That happens.
Now, he's done five turnovers a couple of times. More. He's inconsistent. He's a bad turnover waiting to happen.
Belichick will easily coach those five turnovers into three. Instead of losing 30-0, instead of losing 30-0, you'll lose like 23-7, 23-10. He'll close the gap on that. Hopefully Hoyer is here just to provide insurance and competition for Jared Stidham. And I think it's going to be scary when training camp opens, whenever that is. And Brian Hoyer is working with the ones, but I think that's what's going to happen. Maz, they're going to make Stidham earn that spot.
So I'm not opposed to that part of it. I mean, I don't want Stidham just given the job. I told you I'd love to see them draft another guy. I just don't want Hoyer as the starter. Right? If Hoyer's the starter, it's going to be a long year.
Okay, let's wrap it up with your calls, as promised. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I know nobody wants to blame the wifey, but I do think that spouses are in a unique position. They can either sort of diffuse situations or accentuate them, and I think that Giselle accentuated the situation because we know that Brady had been unhappy for a while, but she could have just said, you know, sweetheart, you know, Belichick is old, he's set in his ways, he's never going to change, but, you know, you've done a great job sucking it up all these years, you only got a couple years left, let's just, you know, finish a Patriot and, you know, and keep your legacy intact.
Definitely.
And instead she went in the opposite direction and said, you know, but how dare they treat you this way? You're Tom Brady. So I definitely think she just didn't give him the best advice. And I think that he'd still be here right now if she had sort of acted or given him different advice.
So that last part, Mary, I'm not sure, you know, who knows, but I think you're right that if, in terms of driving him back to New England or away from New England, she was driving him away from New England.
Oh, for
she
sure.
Was, yeah, she was a factor. I'm sorry, Murray. She was absolutely a factor in this thing. She had to be a factor in this thing. And I also disagree with Mary's assessment that it was bad advice. If Brady wins a Super Bowl in Tampa, oh, it's going to be good advice. Like, I think it'll all, you know, she's potentially putting him in a spot where his gains are even greater than those he's already achieved.
There's any question, his camp was in his ear about, you gonna let him treat you like this? How can he let him treat you like this? Doesn't he realize how great you are? Don't you know everything that you've done for this franchise and what they're doing for you now? You gonna let him treat you like that? And I think she was in his ear about that. His father, his trainer, his aide, you know, I think all those guys were pushing him away. Absolutely. And Giselle is probably the most important.
Well, with her, I think it's, and you've brought this up before, Mike, I think it has to do with the contracts. Like, that's something that she probably can't even comprehend, how these contracts aren't real. So when she's doing these endorsement deals with Chanel or H&M, whatever it happens to be that she's made all her millions on, and she hears that her husband, who's putting his literal neck on the line in this violent game, like, incentives? Huh? The money's not guaranteed. After all you've accomplished? All you've accomplished since I've been with you? F them. Go somewhere else.
And never mind, she hated it here.
Well, right. Yeah, that too.
Hated Boston. Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, boys. So the first time I'm calling in, I did not expect it to be talking about Tom Brady playing with another team. But the thing that blows my mind is that 5 years from now, when we're looking back, you know, Tom Brady's going to be 117 years old and he'll probably still be playing. But when we look back on it, is Tom Brady actually going to be the guy that wins one more Super Bowl, or will the Bucs be the team that wins the Super Bowl? And the thing that I love about what Murray said is also that, you know, that first, I don't know if it was the Tom versus Time thing, but when he's talking, Giselle's rubbing his head while he's driving the Explorer. And he's going, you know, oh, they're just not your family yet, Tommy, you know, and he's, you know, they're not your family yet. And he's like revving the engine and he's just getting angrier and angrier. Like, you know, I don't want to see Tom go out with his knee split. And, you know, I just that just wouldn't do it for me.
Do you understand what he's talking about? Do you have any idea?
No.
He said like four different things. It's one of those calls.
That went off the rails.
Yeah. What was the point?
Tom, you got me.
Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm not one much of a conspiracy guy, but after the way this week's unfolded, I don't discount anything anymore. With the fact that I've read countless articles this week about Deshaun Watson wanted to come here after next season, and again with the conspiracy wise, do you think that there was ever a conversation between Belichick and Kraft or whoever where they said, hey, you know what? If Brady doesn't buckle, which they thought he would, they say, well, you know what? We'll just tread water with Stidham and, you know, someone will release Hoyer. We'll just pick him up again. And then let them do their thing and then take a shot at Watson or any free agent coming out after next year. Then you land a franchise quarterback at 25 years old after you gave up 1 year in between the greatest ever and maybe the next franchise guy. What do you think about Watson?
Okay, Tom. This is the first I've heard of it, just as you were talking. I'm sorry I zoned out because I was now Googling. I guess Deshaun Watson, was this over this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vegas odds, yeah.
Oh. I'm looking at a tweet that says, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team.
That was from 4 hours ago, that tweet.
Oh. So what's that all about? That's obviously a rap lyric? Someone's got to catch me up. I have no idea what's going on. Tell me why Deshaun Watson's not going to go to the Patriots.
Well, so there, go ahead, Maz, with the Vegas odds. You first had that.
Okay, so I saw a tweet over the weekend that the odds of who would be the Patriots quarterback at the start of the 2021 season, Deshaun Watson was the favorite in Vegas.
That's sort of out of nowhere.
It was out of nowhere. I agree. And I sort of dismissed it because franchises obviously have the right to franchise these guys and prevent them from leaving. So I suppose there's a chance that Watson tells the Texans he's not going to sign there and Bill O'Brien trades him to Foxborough. But to me, that doesn't make sense after he just sent DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona.
Well, if you're dumb enough to trade DeAndre Hopkins for a running back, then maybe you're dumb enough to trade Deshaun Watson. Although, am I wrong to not totally love Deshaun Watson?
So that's where I think you can blame the coach more than the player. I like him a lot. I think there's a lot of upside with him.
There's a tremendous amount of upside with him. Tremendous. I don't know. I've just
better than Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I say that. I'd say he's an upgrade over Brian Hoyer. I don't know. When people say system quarterback, they treat that as a negative. I like it. I like a good, like Brady's just an epic, epic system quarterback. And I don't know. I sort of like that model. I don't know if Deshaun Watson, is he consistent enough? Is he accurate enough? Is he all of those things?
If you got him a real coach, I think you could coach him close to, you know, what they get out of Patrick Mahomes. I believe that. Like, he should be an MVP candidate, but he's stuck in stupid Houston with that dunce coach.
Jeff in the car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. You know, Jim, Matt, I had the same outlook once I heard Brady left that. I want Belichick's next stroke of genius in this narrative is to find the next QB that's going to be the first, you know, the next 10 years of a franchise. But, you know, after all this time in isolation, I'm realizing, and all the news that you get with, you know, just what the signing is, I think people need to get comfortable with the term bridge year this year. Okay? I mean, there had Belichick's first year. I know. I understand it was his first year as a coach here, but we got to get comfortable with that term now.
Okay, so, Jeff, when you say bridge year, give me a record for the bridge year.
Okay, I think we don't make the playoffs. And I think with the QBs that we have right now, I don't feel we will make the playoffs this year. But okay. I think he has a chance of setting this up for the next 10 years for, you know, to have a successful franchise.
Just let me tell you this. Let me just stop you. It's a bridge year no matter what the record is. It's a bridge year. Right? They're carrying $14 million in dead money on Brady. They don't have a lot of room. They just had to release their kicker. They had to, they've had a bunch of guys walk out the door. They won't be able to replace them. They're going to reset. They're going to reset the roster. Okay? So, like, that's happening no matter whether they go 6-10 or 10-6. I just don't think that you have to go 6-10 and have a, you can have a bridge year and still compete. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a bridge year in which they still win the division. And that might be a mediocre record, and you may not be a deep playoff team, but
they'll still be competitive.
To me, a failure would be, I want week 17, they're playing to go to the playoffs. You know, where they're, at the very worst, in week 17, their 16th game, if they win and the Steelers lose, they get the 7th seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in the last week of the year, you're still on the line for one of those seven playoff spots, and anything less than that, I'd say is a failure. Anything less than that, I'd be pissed. And it's still a bridge year. You still have to let this money clear off your books. You still have to hit at the draft. You still are letting all these guys walk out the door. Like, that is what it is. But, you know, this, if you think they're going to suck for Trevor Lawrence or tank for it, that ain't happening. And that shouldn't happen. They're going to compete. And if they don't, I'll be pissed, even with Brian Hoyer. So this has been a re-entry Monday. It's been presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank, Maz.
Yep, if you're looking to refinance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Murray's got your headlines and the latest big roster move concerning the Patriots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Real quick, Murray, we are all in this together. This station and Beasley Media Group is committed to serve our community and help local businesses. If you are a business owner facing difficulty, attend a free 30-minute webinar, Crisis Management for Local Businesses. It's presented by the Beasley Media Group. It's full of actionable insights, timely advice, and relevant data. Critical data points to enable your business to not only endure these difficulties, but to emerge stronger when they're over. To register, go to...
Uh-oh.
It says in parentheses, your station website URL, 98.5thesportshub.com.
Yeah, it's going to be it.
Go to 98.5thesportshub.com. I'm just such a moron. I'm Ron Burgundy. If you just if you put it in front of me, I'm going to read it. Okay?
Please say verbatim.
To register, go to 98.5thesportshub.com and search for crisis management for local businesses. All seriousness, Felger Maz here. Happy to be here every day. Grind this out, as I've said earlier. We're just in the beginning of this. This is going to be the new normal here for a while. But, I just think we're ready to grind it out every day and give you all the distractions we can give you.
Yes, and please tell me I can just keep coming in, too.
Yes, and we are. We plan to keep coming in as long as the government and the military allows us to. In the meantime, what's the final word here, Murray?
A couple of things, actually. The Bruins obviously not playing, but it doesn't mean we can't revisit a two-year anniversary of sorts of something that was both Bruins and show-related. Let's it via the Fuppets.
Oh, no.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
With the special appearance there by Blades, the
yes.
mascot of
well, there
the
we go. So thus be getting two straight years of nothing but pure facilitation.
Yeah. Jimmy, right? That's the line of demarcation?
That's when he became an official facilitator.
Completely lopped my balls off after that thing. You're not getting any more commercials out of me. What?
Well, there was also some Terry Bradshaw talk today. And with that... because he said that Brady's a fool, basically, to go to the bus.
He gave some good quotes.
Yeah. So with that, though, let's revisit the moment that Terry Bradshaw called into the show last year.
This is great.
Do you want me to rant about Terry Bradshaw?
Not really, no.
Do you want me to just keep doing this?
No.
The useless sports talk radio phone interview, that checked every single box. Bad phone.
Conditions. I thought Tom handled the conditions extremely well.
Not funny grab ass.
Maserati.
Thank you.
Short Maz, right?
Yeah, Maz is good.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Didn't say anything.
Rings make a difference, but you don't necessarily have to have a ring.
Checked every box of the useless sports talk radio interview. Every box. Oh, my God. It just frustrates me.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
I blame you.
One of the great disasters in show history.
Seriously.
Bad phone. Not funny grab ass. Didn't say a thing. Just the typical thing while you don't.
But that 2-minute rant, the next segment, totally 100% worth it.
Meanwhile, he gives great quote here to The Athletic. He nailed it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.